And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just y'all, hey, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm not kidding when I say it. This one right here, Alabama. And I mean, y'all, this show, we go like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, Boomer, epic text. Jeff Mendiana's on a roll right now. I mean, I just did the whole thing about women's suffrage in Wyoming. He wants to know, he says, Phil, when do you think we'll have an end to men's suffrage? Of course, he did put the little smiley face emoji. So. All of you women ruffians out there, it was Jeff who said it. I was just reading it. It was a Jeff who said it. Anyway, Morgan from Fort Myers says, conservatives are guilty until proven innocent. A.G. James is building name recognition for future political gain. Well, you know what, though? I am hoping that she's going to wind up with no political gain here because this case needs to go down in flames. And by the way, the case goes, keep in mind, this thing can drag on forever. And I know what the judge is going to try and do. He's going to try and render a decision so that any appeal process is taking place during the pendency of the election season. Listen to me. I sound like I'm suspicious of the judge. Maybe I am. But the reality is this thing could go on for a while. Any decision that is coming out against Trump is going to wind up being appealed by Trump. You know it is. And then it has intermediate levels of appeal. So in New York, they would have the right to appeal to the appellate courts in the state of New York. And if it reaches a certain level or involves a federal question, the potential is there for it to go to a Supreme Court appeal, but not. I would imagine it will stay within the state. Then the federal cases you've got, you know, dealing with the documents and all that kind of stuff, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the Jack Smith special appointed counsel, that's federal. That one will wind up going through the appeals process if it comes against Trump. And, you know, the interesting thing is the appellate courts can also deny or decline to take it up. And we'll see. But that all takes time. The question becomes, you've got 1 year from today. Well, they stage these things out purposefully because they're trying to make sure they've got the opportunity to push through the appeal process and get an appellate ruling or an appellate denial before the election. Why? So they can say they've got the man. So they can say he's a felon. They can't run now. Well, then what do we do? So they know we're going to be past the primary. They know we're going to have the ticket. The ticket right now looks like it will be Trump plus somebody. And then the somebody is going to be sitting there going, am I going to have a top of the ticket candidate with me? I mean, if they come back with a felony conviction in one of those cases, just one, then it's got to get appealed. And if it gets appealed and Trump is not elected before the, if Trump is not elected before the appeal runs out and it does not go in his favor, then it's a world of hurt. At that point, if Trump's elected, here's the thing. If he's elected, you got to question, what's he going to do with some of this stuff? If these cases were ever to go against him, which some of you look at and go, that's the shoddiest piece of prosecution work I have ever seen. You should be embarrassed for bringing that. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the one about the documents is probably the most concerning because there actually are laws about classified documents, and yet the approval authority, I'm chasing a rabbit, Boomer. I am so chasing a rabbit. The approval authority for the declassification of those documents was Donald Trump. So I don't know how that's going to go down, but that's the one that concerns me the most. Although we're starting to see guilty pleas in the Georgia case. Why is that significant? Because the prosecutor there was being so heavy-handed, was working to ruin the lives and careers of people who did nothing except what their client asked them to work on within the bounds of legal reason. And yet they are having to enter guilty pleas just to save themselves from a lifetime of not being able to practice law anymore because they have a conviction on their hands that they can't deal with. It's just, the whole thing is just jacked up. Okay. Stop me. That wasn't even a dipper. Call that a mini dipper, Boom. That was that a rant?
Yeah.
Oh. You won't let me call it a mini dipper?
No, you can just be the mini rant. I'm going to combine it.
A dip rant. It was a ranter. All right, let me jump in here. So Bama making the news. So keep in mind, top of the hour, our friend, former state senator Dick Brubaker is now running for Congress. He's calling in. But I began to notice this morning that things happening in Alabama were being reported in a national scale. Or we have Alabama figures that were making national headlines or national appearances. So this is very cool. So the first one, this one came off of Yellowhammer News reporting about the fact that U.S. Senator Katie Britt was on CBS Good Mornings, just a solo interview. I mean, and I don't mean like, Senator, tell us about that thing on the Senate floor. No, it was an interview with her as a person sitting there on the set with the hosts of CBS Mornings. And she was sharing her perspective on, first of all, there were two things. One is she was sharing her perspective on the Middle East ceasefire possibilities, and she flat out said no. And she had a great answer. I should have got the sound clip on this because it was a good sound clip. Her response to this was with regards to a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, she said no. Said, I think if you have a pause, the Israeli government would say that it would be to get the hostage out, and that I understand. But calling for a ceasefire when these people say they will do it again and again until the state of Israel is eradicated, until the Jewish people are eradicated, guys, you cannot ask the people of Israel to tuck their kids in at night knowing this could occur at any moment. What a great answer. What a great answer. What a great way to humanize the actual situation. So she said that, but then what was interesting was this. They pointed out that she is, how did they word it? She is the youngest and only female Republican in the U.S. Senate who has school-aged children right now. I find that interesting. They did too, apparently. And then one of them, Tony Dockapill, anyway, he asked, so would you be interested in running with Donald Trump on the Republican ticket? Excuse me? I mean, no one saw that coming. Would you be interested in being a vice president, Katie Britt? Anyway, and her response was, look, I'm just working hard in the U.S. Senate. And then she says, starts talking about policies. Under President Trump, our border was more secure, at which point they interrupted her and said we had to go to break, and they left. Because they didn't want to deal with. So, yeah, first thing first, just know this. There's one of your U.S. senators on the news, making news. And so that's cool. And then there's that story that we talked about yesterday at length with our friend Jeff Poor from 1819 News. Got another piece on it right now, but this is different. The story made national headlines. If you remember yesterday when we were talking to Jeff, I had myself a moment where I said, look, the hypocrisy of the press is galling in this situation. The people that are calling for, you know, 1819 to be excoriated or doxed or sued or whatever else, what was their stance on Roy Moore? What was their stance on John Merrill? What was their stance on Robert Bentley? What was their stance on any conservative for whom allegations were made? By the way, go back and look at those. Like, for instance, let's take one, Roy Moore. Whatever happened with that? Oh, as soon as he wasn't elected, that all kind of went away. Did he go to court on that? Yes, I believe he did. And it was not the thing that Washington Post and all the others made it out to be. So, yeah, what hypocrisy we're seeing in the media about the claims being made about 1819 News for daring to run a story about a mayor of a town who was also the pastor of a church who was a cross-dressing transgender activist at night on his own website, posting things in the public forum and writing what they call, I would say, erotic snuff fiction about people in his own town where he was the mayor. And listen, there's more to the story. Not everything got reported, but the man committed suicide, and now everybody blames 1819 News. Well, Daily Wire's Matt Walsh called that out. Daily Wire, you know, one of the largest national organizations doing creative conservative content to impact culture. So Daily Wire's Matt Walsh called out all those who would dare to blame conservatives and 1819 News in particular. He said this. He said, Bubba Copeland, that's the guy who killed himself, was a deeply troubled man. Also, Copeland's last act was a choice that he made, the wrong choice, but a choice all the same. He said, many in the media are using carefully crafted euphemisms to help Copeland avoid any responsibility for his own actions that led to him choosing to take his own life. And he said this, in our culture, which has long jettisoned any sense of objective truth or morality, Copeland is not seen as being accountable for any of this. Instead, pretty much without exception, the left is blaming conservatives for the man's death. In particular, a small conservative news outlet in Alabama called 1819 News. And anyway, I just thought it was fascinating that conservatives are also taking up the question of why 1819 is being excoriated for the story. I get it; it's hurtful. There are people that are wondering whether that was a story they should have run. The truth is, they didn't take it lightly. You heard Jeff Poore yesterday saying it was a big, big deal. They really ran the numbers on this to decide whether they were going to do it or not. It was not cavalier. It was not a gotcha. They finally decided they had to do a story because there was more involved than what's been reported. How about that? And it's pretty awful. But that being said, Bama in the news. I got more on this. Coming up next, we'll talk about others that are happening. Like, for instance, who just qualified to run on the presidential ballot? And how much time do the others have left to get on the ballot? Better get on the stick. And what about our own friend John Wall, who's been on the show multiple times, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party? Where was he this morning? National news, I'll tell you about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Y'all, I'm just saying, like making common sense like a superpower on this show is what we do. I got several texts here with regards to the transgender pastor who took his own life the other day. Steve from Tennessee says, with regards to the trans pastor, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That is scriptural. He said he made bad choices, Steve from Tennessee. Agreed, sir. MJ, we don't know where you're from, but I'm not going to call out your last name, so I'll just stick with your first name. Tell us where you're from, sir. I assume, sir, person, male, female. Anyway, MJ says, we should not try to change the blocking privileges of individual senators, talking about Tuberville now, which is actually in my stack right here, but we should block the privilege if targeted in the wrong direction. Senator Tuberville should be targeting the SecDef and his staffers responsible for implementing the policy with which Tuberville disagrees, instead of the warfighters who have nothing to do with that policy. I disagree with you, sir, or ma'am. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're. I don't know who you are. MJ, thanks for the. By the way, thanks. He says U.S. Army retired. Thanks for your service, and I do disagree. And I say that because the only way to target the SecDef aside from expending or appropriations is through the confirmations process. And the SecDef's already been confirmed. So at this point, you need to recognize, though, MJ, there's not a single one of those flag officers, not a single one, who is being, quote-unquote, held up by Tuberville. There is a slower process that Tuberville is requiring, which is called the regular order of business. Think about this. When those confirmations come to the floor, they come one at a time, unless the Senate decides to do what's called dispensing with the regular order of business and agree to approve them en masse. All that Tuberville is saying is, hey, you can bring them one at a time. They got three of them through last week. They got the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs through, about a month ago. You know why? Because Schumer recognized that some people were about to go ahead and do it anyway. Schumer's the one not bringing them to the floor. Schumer's doing it to try and bring heat to Tuberville. Why? Because Schumer's for abortion. So here's an idea. Maybe the SecDef should stop with policies that circumvent current existing law, try to blast state laws that are anti-abortion, and oh, by the way, maybe Schumer should just bring somebody to the floor one at a time like he's supposed to, and this would all have been over. 9 months, they would all have been confirmed by now. All of them, every single one of them. It's Schumer who's not bringing them to the floor. So, MJ, there's that. Jeff from Indiana, I'm sorry, John from Huntsville says, Phil, if that was a mini dipper, you get 5 extra credit points. If it was a mini rant, you only get 2 points. Okay, then it was a dipper. So here's one. We're going back onto the dipper here, Bama making the news. So John Wall, our friend who's been on the show multiple times, he's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. I did not know this about John Wall, that he is the youngest state party chairman in the entire United States right now. Because, you know, every state's got him. He's the youngest Republican Party chairman in the entire United States, 37 years old. Says on Tuesday, ABC's Good Morning America, that was this morning, by the way, will host a face-off on the election outlook featuring the youngest Republican Party state chair opposite the youngest Democrat Party chair. So, yeah, that's John Wall from Athens, Alabama, right here in our listening area. Guest to this show many times. So John Wall was actually on Good Morning America this morning. I thought that was just fascinating to me. We had Katie Britt on ABC's or CBS's morning show yesterday. We got John Wall on ABC's Good Morning America today. Who's next? We need somebody on NBC. I'll do it. Call up. Put me on CNN. Put me on Fox. I don't care. I want to sit on the curvy couch on Fox. Anyway, the Republican John Wall, 37 years old, of Athens, was in a debate, but they kind of went back and forth with Democrat Anderson Clayton, who's only 26, of North Carolina. It points out, too, that John Wall is actually a butterfly farmer. Do you know that about him? He's a butterfly farmer, which is it's actually very cool.
That's pretty cool.
It's beyond cool. It's like I've never met him. He's the only butterfly farmer I've ever heard of.
Oh, same here. I've never heard of butterfly farmers, but...
He and I were talking the other night at the API dinner. We were at the table together, and he was just telling me about, you know, all of his major clients, zoos and other places that, yeah, it's crazy. It's really neat.
That's cool.
It is cool. And he pointed out, though, Wall did, that that they are pursuing two rising demographic groups in Alabama, young voters and black voters. He said these groups could sway elections in competitive races and help solidify party footholds, and that he has his eyes on what's known as the Black Belt region of Alabama, especially with the new congressional district, too. All right, there's that. How about this? And I texted her a little while ago when I realized that my friend Terry Lathan, who is a former state party chair also, she is the state, what's her title? She's the state chairwoman of the Ron DeSantis campaign. So Ron DeSantis, through Terry Lathan, just got himself qualified on the Alabama ballot as of yesterday. So that's interesting. So we only have, keep in mind, you watch the debates, you see the candidates, you look at what they're doing, but every state has their version of what it takes to get on the ballot. I mean, it's not automatic. So right now, there's only 3 GOP candidates on Alabama's ballot right now. Only 3. There's a pretty significant qualifying fee. In this case, it's $20,000. And then on top of that, you've got to turn in a petition with an X number of voters on it. In this case, they had to have 500 Alabama registered voters saying they wanted DeSantis on the ballot. And then you have to also turn it in person. And so they got it. Well, former President Donald Trump and Ohio entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy have also qualified. Qualifying ends Friday. So I'm saying, like, Nikki Haley and Tim Scott, any of the others who think they can be on the ballot, well, they'd better pony up a filing fee and get on in, because they've got about 3 days left to get this thing done. We'll see. Right now, Trump is leading the Republican field with 58.6%, with DeSantis at 13.6% in second place. That's a huge margin. Huge, huge margin. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We'll be coming back in a minute. Former state senator Dick Brubaker calling in. He has now decided to run for Congress. Dick Brubaker, a friend of mine who I just enjoy talking to on this show many times, but now he's calling in not about policy. He's calling in because he's a candidate. We'll talk to him. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. right side.